I don't know if you listen to the words that we just sang, but something that was said was, I am redeemed no more to die, never to say goodbye. He gave me a song. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise his name, he's my king. A wonderful song. That is a beautiful song. I think about my own life and how God saw fit to save me from sin. And I made a commitment years ago to say that if God gave me the ability to understand his word and the opportunity to teach his word, then I would have the responsibility to do that. And I would venture to tell you this morning that if you have the ability to understand what his word says, and this morning presents an opportunity for you to change some things in your life, then I would tell you that you have an opportunity, you have the responsibility to do that. And so my prayer is that God would allow me to say something that would help each and every one of you to grow closer to him. And if you are not a child of God, that it is made so clear to you of what you must do, and that you will no longer allow your heart to be hardened and to stay away and do what so many people do and say, I plan to do it another day, maybe next time, but that you will not let your heart be callous, because that is a deceitful trick of the devil to tell you to do it next time. There's only so many next times. So my prayer is that there is something that is said that if you need to change in your life, regardless of what it is, that at the end of this lesson, you have the courage, the faith, the love of God to come forward and let us assist you in whatever way there is that you need to be assisted. Now, I got to tell you, Stone Street, I'm excited to be here. I look forward to this meeting. When Dick emailed me and said, hey, Brent, want to have you for a meeting? I was, thank the Lord. Because I'll tell you, the last time I came here, I actually have a genuine love for this congregation. I think this is a fine group of God's people who are doing their very best, who are striving just like the other saints. So I kind of feel like when Paul was writing to different congregations, as I heard things from the congregation or things about the congregation, it excited me. And now we got one of y'all who came over with us. We got Adam, who's over there with us in at East Shelby. So that's a good thing, and we often talk about this congregation. So I would tell you that I'm excited, and I hope that I do you good this week as I try to proclaim the word of God. I will tell you that I will preach lessons that I found important for me to grow closer to God. And Lord willing, they will help you to do the same. Now let me say this. None of you have ever had the opportunity to meet my father-in-law. My father-in-law and me are so close, you would think that he is my actual dad. And I'm that close with my mother-in-law as well. And my father-in-law, because we're so close, I can say what I'm getting ready to say. He is over the top. And I know you look at me and you think to yourself, Brent, how are you going to call somebody over the top? But he is more over the top than me. He is so over the top that we can all go out to eat it as a family to dinner. And my mother-in-law can say, John, hey, how's that taste? Let me taste that. No, Barbara. This is mine. If you want some, I'll go ahead and order you one for yourself. You can taste. I'll order you one to eat yourself, but you are not going to taste mine. And she'll say, John, come on, be serious. I just want a little taste. No, you can't have mine. You can order whatever you wanted. I'm going to order you your own. Waiter! And he'll call the waiter over and order a brand new plate just for her to get a taste. And we laugh at that, but that is really how he is. And he has been that over the top Stacy's entire life. In fact, when Stacy was 5 years old and her brother was 9, one day her and her brother are watching TV. And her and her brother are looking at these kids on TV and they're eating grapes. So she goes to her dad and says, Dad, can we have some of those? And her dad says, yeah, I'll get you guys some, but they're not in season right now, so they're too expensive, so wait till they come in season. But Dad, please, Dad, the kids on TV are eating grapes, and how come we can't have any? Why is that fair that they get grapes, Dad, and you don't get us any? So her dad says, fine, when I go to the store, I'll buy y'all some grapes, if they have them. So true to his word, he keeps his word, and he goes to the store a couple of days later, and he goes and he finds some grapes. Now, if I go to the store and buy the girls grapes because they like them, I buy that normal 3-pound bag. If you're lucky, I'll get you the 5-pound bag, right? Her dad's a little different. He's over the top. He walks in the house and says, "Kids, I got a surprise for you." And when he walks in the house, he has a crate of grapes. And he walks in there with these crate of grapes, and he has these grapes, and he walks over and gets a bunch of grapes. And as he has this bunch of grapes, he washes them off, and he gets them all clean, and he gives this bunch of grapes to Stacy. These are the ones with the seeds in it, you know, the big ones with the seeds. So Stacy's 5 years old, so these grapes are almost like little plums in her hand. And she gets this bunch of grapes, and she sits there, "Thanks, Dad." And he gives it to her. He smiles because he's a good dad, right? He's giving his baby what she wanted. So Stacy bites into the first grape. And she eats it. And she eats another grape. And all of a sudden, makes a funny face. And as she eats the third grape, she tells her dad, "Okay, Dad, I'm done. I had enough. I don't really like them." Her dad looked at her and said, "Oh, no. You gonna eat them grapes. After all that begging that you did, and after all this, we gotta have it, and how come, Dad, and I went out there and spent all this money to get you those grapes, you gonna sit down and eat every last one of them grapes." So Stacy's mom chimes in, because you know how y'all like to do. John, if the girl don't like the grapes, John, don't, no, Barbara, no. She begged, she had to have them. Please, Dad, the kids on TV, you gonna be just like the kids on TV. Sit down and eat every single one of those grapes. So Stacy, at 5 years old, sat there with those plum-sized grapes, eating every single one of them on the bunch. Well, after she was done, she goes over to the couch. And when she sits on the couch an hour later, Stacy begins to feel a fever coming on. And a little bit longer, all of a sudden, Stacy just And what had happened was Stacy began to get the flu. And because she got the flu after eating these grapes, till this day, Stacy has been married for 18 years, has two girls, 16 and 14, and till this day still associates grapes with the flu. To the point that she won't even eat grapes. If you ever have us at your house, if you're making something, if there's grapes in it, she will not touch it. It's probably making her sick right now, me talking about grapes. Which brings me to the title of my sermon. Abundant fruit. And let me set the stage for you before we get into the text. In John chapter 14, after the disciples have sat there with Jesus for the Last Supper, here is Jesus preparing his disciples for what's getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to be this great scene of the crucifixion, of his resurrection, and really about his departure, how he's going to leave this earth and he's going to go to heaven. And he tells them things in chapter 14, such as, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he just told them that he's going to leave. So he knows how they begin to feel and how discouraged his disciples would know and how they would feel hearing that their master is no longer going to be with them. So he is giving them what this is, a lesson of encouragement. So here's a lesson of encouragement that he is giving to his disciples as we get into chapter 15 what book did I say? John. That's important. This is what he says. "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned." Now, in order for us to get this text, I think we need to deal with verse 5. I think that we won't get this text until we truly look at verse 5, and we need to understand what has already happened. They have already had the Lord's Supper. Judas is gone to go get the mob. And Jesus knows where Judas has went. Remember, when he told him, he said, whatever you're going to do, go do it quickly. Remember that? So Judas gets up and they're all looking around thinking he's going to go do something with the money. Well, Judas is gone. So this random statement that Jesus makes in verse 5, I want you to remember what he's going on. And I want you to understand that verse 5 makes all the sense in the world to those individuals. Just like we live in a time of computers and we understand things that have to do with computers. If we say, hey, we need a flash drive, or hey, we need more RAM, or we need more megabytes, or you're going to hit control alt delete. We all would understand what that is in our age of technology. This is a world and a time of agriculture where they understood farming and they understood all the things that have to do with grapes. That was how they made money. They understood this. So when he makes this statement, it's not a random statement to them. They would understand what he is getting ready to say. So they're on their way to Gethsemane. And I want you to notice what he uses to paint this picture. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I think that he's using the vine and the branches to basically tell them that even though you won't see me anymore, I want you to know that you're still with me and I'm still with you. And that's an important lesson for us, because even though we at times feel like we can't see Jesus and we're not noticing Jesus and Jesus doesn't appear to be around us, it's important for us to understand the lesson of encouragement that he's telling his disciples, that even though you may not see me physically with you that I once was and I was talking with you, I want you to understand that I'm still with you. How are you with me, Lord? The same way that a vine is with his branches. And I'm going to take care of you the same way that a vine takes care of its branches. And so he's painting this beautiful picture to really tell them that he is the life source to the branch. And the vine's job and responsibility is to nourish the branch and to feed the branch, which is us. And so what he's really saying is that when you look at this, this is really a message about that if we abide with him, then he can abide with us and we should be able to bear much, much fruit. Now, I personally think that what I just said could have made some of you nervous. I think that those of us in the church have a problem when we say that God's going to abide with us or he's going to dwell with us. We get a little nervous about that language in the church, because there's some things we stay away from. We think, ooh, where's this brother going? Ears are perking. Is he saying that God's dwelling with us? And because we start getting afraid about this indwelling, and that's only because we're afraid to touch what the Bible says. And sometimes I think we need to talk about those things in order for us to understand what God is saying is that, and Christ is saying is that when he dwells with us, as we deal with him, we shouldn't be afraid of that, but we should embrace that. That God the Son, Jesus, is going to be this vine, if you will, that's up there. And each of us are going to be these branches. And remember what the vine's responsibility is, to nourish and to feed and to take care of the branch. And he's saying that if you're doing it, if we're fulfilling the conditions of the vine, the conditions that he has commanded us to do, then we abide in him or dwell in him, and he will dwell in us. Simply put, meaning that if I do what he has told me to do, then he can dwell in me because I'm in the light as he is in the light. And the Bible says that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he says we have fellowship with one another. And so really it's nothing for us to be afraid of. It's really to understand that if I'm doing my part and I'm living the way I should be living and I'm living according to the conditions that he has told me to live, he will be in me and I will be in him. And he wants them to understand that just like when you look at a vine and you look at a branch, I want you to understand that this is how we're going to be together. And if I'm in there and I'm abiding in you and you're abiding in me, he says that there's going to be much fruit that's going to be bare. And so really what he's wanting us to understand that when we allow ourselves to dwell with him and him dwell with us, we actually have this flowing relationship. He's flowing with us, we're flowing with him, and there is these nutrients and everything going back and forth to where we become an extension of the vine. And because we're an extension of the vine, we can produce the things that the vine is giving off. Understand this imagery, because they would understand that. And so what I really need to make sure you understand is that there would be a connection between us and the vine, which means that if we are truly connected to the vine, we'll be truly engaged to the vine and linked to the vine and attached to the vine. And that means that we must be obedient to the vine. And as the branches, it would be impossible for us to be connected to the vine while he's feeding us and nourishing us. It'd be impossible for us to be like that, for us to be connected to him and us not be able to bear fruit. Y'all got to hear that one again, huh? If we are connected to the vine and we are linked and engaged and in there and we are being fed with nourishment of the vine and we are part of the vine, one with the vine, it's one whole piece. Y'all did this for me right here. If this is all one whole piece and it's all being nourished and fed from the same thing, if it's being fed from the root, the vine, then all of a sudden you're going to have no choice. As long as you keep the vine going and you allow the vine to do its job, it cannot do anything but produce fruit. So basically, anybody connected to the vine is going to produce. And that means that we as the branches would be strong. And we would understand and we would get that. And we have to be able to wrap our minds about that, because a belief and understanding in Christ would allow him to penetrate our whole entire being, even to the joints and the marrow of the soul and spirit. And so what he's really talking about is a mutual indwelling. I in him and he's in me. And so the Bible is clear to tell us that what's really happening is this oneness with Christ. We have this oneness with Christ, and it's the same oneness that he has with the Father. Remember what he says, Father, my prayer is that they and I would be one as you and I are one. And so really what he's saying is the goal is for us to be so intact with the vine that we all become part of the same family, that the Father can see us as he sees the Son, and we are all connected, all together, all one body. And when that happens, he's saying that the Heavenly Father will be able to see the unity between us and the Son, or the branches and the vine. And so he's turning around and saying that every part of our life, not just when we come in here and worship on Sunday or worship on Wednesday, every part of our life would mean that we would be somebody who is reflecting of the connection or the unity of God. Because we would be so connected to this life source that every decision, every move, every step, everything we do would be representation of the vine. That means when you're driving in your car and somebody cuts you off, you're still going to represent the vine. That means when you're at the grocery store, you're still going to represent the vine. That means when you are at school, you're still going to represent the vine. When you're at work, you're still going to represent the vine. When you are arguing with your spouse, you are still going to represent the vine. He's saying that when you become one, as you should become one, and you're letting the vine nourish you and feed you and give you all those things, no matter how you look at it, every situation, every time, you're going to be able to see the vine, and because the branches are going to mirror what the vine is doing. Not just when we come in here. So if I'm doing what I should be doing and allowing the vine to work in my life the way it should adjust my attitude. It should give me a complete overhaul of submission, that I no longer do those things that I want to do, but I would base my life on what the vine would have me to do. So that would be things how we say, how we carry ourselves, our deeds. So if he dwells in us, we should be directed by his will. That means that we would consider Jesus in everything we do. You know, I'm mindful of a men's breakfast that we had about a month ago, and some brothers got together and had a men's breakfast, and we began to talk about prayer. And during this breakfast, one of the brothers made a comment I think is important. He said that often he may find himself praying to God and praying, God, bless me to get a new car and let that be your will. God, bless me to get a new house or a better job and let that be your will. And really the story of the vine and the branch is not that we pray that God's will becomes our will, but that our will becomes his will. And when we really get to that point that we're being fed by the things that he wants us to be fed by, we no longer will ask for things amiss, as the Bible says. It'll be with the purpose that everything that we do, everything that we have, is going to be there to glorify God. Because that's really what the Son did. He says, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And so when we're connected to the vine, we no longer want to do the will of ourselves, but we're now trying to do the will of those of him who we're connected to, what is going to be in line with him who sent him. So we're all going to be in unison. Now, I know that is so simple, you cannot miss that. So simply put, everything I told you and everything that you do, according to the next verse, that jumps. According to the next verse, is important. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire as they are burned. He's saying that everything you do, if you don't abide in him, let's go to this part. For without me, you can do nothing. If you don't abide in him, then that means that everything you do is pointless. Now, this is hard for us to gather. We have a lot of people that are believers. There is a difference between a believer and a Christian. And I think we need to understand what that is. I know a lot of people who believe in God who put Christians to shame because they are so giving and so caring and so loving, and they do everything that they should be doing. But when you look at this, he says, if you don't abide in him, you can't do anything. That means that you can be all of these things, doing all of these works, all of this stuff, but because you're not abiding in the vine, you're not connected to the vine, that everything you do is pointless. Which tells me that there's a difference between a believer and a Christian. A Christian is somebody who is dependent on Christ. We realize that he's our source of energy and our spiritual fruit. And it's not of ourselves. And outside of him, there's nothing that we can do. And in Christ, we understand that we have to live right and we have to serve him effectively. And only if we're rightly connected to him that it would actually count, because we're accomplishing those things that he told us to do. So he goes on to make it clear that those who abide in me or dwell in me or remain in me or who are stable in him, that they should be bearing much fruit. Now, I said all of that so that you can understand the dwelling relationship between the vine and the branches. He dwells in us. We dwell in him. So that means that anytime that Brent Mohair does something wrong, it should shame me, because really, I'm a representation of the vine. And so when you look at me or anybody else looks at me, they are looking at a representation of Jesus. And so that should tell me that Christ has to dwell in me all the time. That means that this should show in how I'm supposed to work. And you should see it of how you dwell, of how you're connected to the light source. If you're connected to the light source through prayer, that should help you to be connected to the light source. If you're reading is another way to connect to the light source. Singing praises to God is another way to connect to the light source. Obedience is a way to connect to the light source. And until you understand and get this full picture of these two beings being connected into this holistic part, Jesus dwelling in you and you dwelling in him, you would not understand the purpose of the vine dresser. So I said all that to bring you to this. All that to say, look what he says in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my father is the vine dresser. He is saying that there is a relationship between the vine and the vine dresser. He's saying that the father is the one who plants the vine. He's the one who watches over the vine. He's the one that tends to the vine. In fact, I want you to notice that it's the father who's doing the dressing and the pruning of the vine. What he is trying to accomplish is that as the vine is giving off its nourishment, it's not giving off nourishment to things that are not willing to accept nourishment or things that is going to cause it to the nourishment to go to waste. He wants the nourishment to make sense with the vine. So every branch that's connected to the vine should be able to receive what the vine is giving off and not just become waste. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. What he's saying is, there's some branches, there's some working that he's doing. Since we're connected to his vine, he says, if we're not producing, he's going to do some removing. But if we are producing, and you may not be producing as much fruit as you can, but he's going to come and he's going to start to prune. And what that means is that when you become a Christian, you're not going to miraculously begin to produce all this fruit. The picture that we have here is that he's trying to get you to produce this abundant fruit. Read it again. He says, every branch that's in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. That means that when he looks at my life, he's going to look at Brent and he's going to say, Brent, you may be producing a little bit of fruit, but I need to cut some things off of you, Brent, so that you're able to produce more fruit. Because you have some things in your life that I need to remove and I need to take away so that I can get you to flourish to full growth, to be where you need to be so that you produce and help and give, because you may be giving some, but you're not at your full potential. So because I'm the father and I'm trying to keep my son's vine trimmed and perfect where it needs to be, let me cut off these dead branches that don't need to be there. Let me get these things trimmed off of you so that as you are being fed, it's making sense to make you flourish and you begin to grow and produce. And that is my job as the vine dresser, to not only protect the vine, but to make sure that every branch that's connected to the vine is doing its fair share. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that he wants to take me and prune me and shape me to become something that's working right for him. And he's trying to grow me and strengthen me. And he's doing that patiently while he removes all these things that could be in the way, because he wants to help me to bear more fruit. And that means that when I look at my life today, and you look at your life today, that you should not be the same spiritual person that you were last year at this time. You should grow from who you were last year. And I'm going to tell you how you can get that from this verse. He says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You have to look at your life and examine and say, am I bearing more fruit than I did last year? Because if he's doing his part and I'm connected to the vine, I should be producing more. Which then means that if I'm not producing more and I'm stagnant and he's trying to cut and he's trying to trim, everybody connected to the vine is going to produce. You have to take a step back and look at your life and say, am I truly connected the way I should be connected, or have I begun to disconnect myself from the vine? Because if you have not grown, and you're not growing, and you are the same spiritual person year after year, day after day, that means that you are not allowing him to prune and to cut and to shape and to mold. And he tells us what's going to happen. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So he's trying to tell you that you can easily look at your life, and I can look at my life, and I can tell, am I connected? connected the way I need to be connected? Am I being fed the way I need to be fed? Am I doing what I need to be doing? And if the answer is no, I better start getting things back in line with God. We act so confused, like we cannot know if we're going to go to heaven, when the Bible says, make your call and election sure. I used to struggle with that and think, how could Paul be so confident that he knows? Because once you understand the true picture, the true connection between the vine and the branches, you can know if you are connected and bearing fruit and doing what you ought to be doing. You can look at your life, and that was the verse that the brother read. Every tree that bears good fruit, you will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. When you look at your life, everybody should be able to see the fruit that you're bearing. You should be able to see the fruit that you're bearing. And look what he says. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. This goes again back to that point of people who call themselves believers. I want you to notice that obedience to the word is what cleanses us. That means that you're going to take Jesus as he is. Not changing his word, not changing the things that changing his word to fit our life, but making sure that our life fits his life. And he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He says, if you're really abiding in Christ and he's really abiding in me, there is no way possible that I cannot be bearing fruit. And it's the right type of fruit. So verse 6 becomes our problem. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That is those who do not abide in him. And I am too close to this not to make the point for you. There is a process for those of you who know about plants. I do not have a green thumb. I hate doing anything with gardening. But there's a word called horticulture. And that's when you take this living branch and you graft it into a vine or a tree. And in order for those to take, you have to have some type of match, if you will. And if you have this match, then this branch will begin to go and grow off of this vine, and it becomes part of this vine like it always was part of it. It would be like a similarity of genetics, right? So we understand that. We understand that when it comes to things like an organ transplant. You cannot take somebody's liver and give it to somebody else who needs a liver unless there was a match between the blood and all the stuff. And if everything worked for the transplant and it was like to like, then it would take hold of that, and that person can function off of that new liver. Well, I want you to make sure that you understand this, because if the body does not take hold of the new part, it rejects it, because it's not like to like. Did you catch that? If the body does not take hold of that new part, it's going to reject it because it's not like to like. That is the same process as the church. Here we are, these branches who are trying to be connected to the body of Christ. And we were dead branches that through the word, the obedience of the gospel, when we were washed in the watery grave of baptism, that now we became alive. You take this alive branch now, and this alive branch becomes engrafted into this body. And as it becomes engrafted into this body or into this vine, then all of a sudden you have this once dead sinner who's now made alive, connected to this holy God. And now we're grafted in. And now you have this verse that makes sense when you look at, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. God's word will engraft us into the vine, engraft us into the body, so that we who were once dead have now been made alive. We ask, what is so important about the word? It is through the obedience of the word, through the understanding of the word, that God engrafts us, he shapes us, he molds us, and makes us part of the vine, part of the church, part of his son's body, that we are now made alive and we can live and we can begin this brand new life to receive nourishment and to receive the food and receive this nutrition that we may grow and flourish and produce fruit. And that is absolutely amazing. That God took me, oh wretched man that I am, and through the obedience of his word has quickened me to become alive. And has taken his word and me being obedient to his word has engrafted me in to his vine, his son, the body of Christ, the church, so that I can be fed and uplifted and molded and given and provided for, that all of a sudden as all that happens, I grow and I produce fruit. And he doesn't just leave me alone there. The Father then comes and says, Brent, I know where you came from. I know who you are. I know you have challenges of the world. I know you came from that place. So allow me to help you and trim you and cut you and make you into something better so that you can produce more fruit. And it's my job to sit back and let him cut and trim and mold and make so that I can continue to produce and continue to produce. And that is the same process for every single one of us that have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when he says it's the engrafted word that you have to receive with meekness, he is trying to save your soul and put you in the only life source that exists, the vine, the body, the church. Also, we can become one with his son, Christ Jesus, the one thing that he is going to take care of and make sure that there's no spot, no blemish, no anything that will always have preeminence with God the Father. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. And he begins to work on us and connect us to this life source. And we can't help but produce. Isn't that what this says? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, that when we go down in the watery grave of baptism and rise, as Romans 6 tells us, that you come up a new creature. A new creature being baptized into his death. To rise up and walk in a newness of life. And that newness of life means I'm alive because I've been engrafted and connected to the vine. And now there's a responsibility that I allow the vine dresser, the one who has to do the pruning and cutting and trimming. The vine is always going to be perfect. It's the branches that have the problem. And if we allow him to trim and cut and do what he needs to do and fix us and get everything off of us that we don't need to have, then when you look at me, you should see the direct reflection of the vine. And all that makes me think about Stacy when she was a little girl with those grapes. Brent, how does that make you think of that? Here Stacy was, going to her father, seeing something that she wanted so bad. Dad, please, Dad, I really want that. And that's how we do our Heavenly Father. I want heaven so bad that we sit up there and we say, please, please, Dad, I want that. And he goes and gave his son to die on the cross and to wash me. And to cleanse me. And he says, here you go, babe. And what happens is once I'm washed and I'm cleansed, just like Stacy associates the flu with grapes, we sometimes as Christians associate the trials of life with us being a Christian. And that is the wrong attitude. She would have got the flu regardless, just like you and I will go through trials and tribulations and hardships regardless. And so the message of encouragement that he was giving to his disciples, and you have to catch this, is that although you do not see me, life is going to happen regardless. Death is going to happen regardless. Suffering is going to happen regardless. Job loss and fighting with your spouse and the ups and downs of your children going astray, that's going to happen regardless. And you and I need to know that we are connected to the vine. Why is that important? Because he wants to nourish us and feed us and really tell us, I have not left you. Hang in there. Just continue to work and let me nourish you. I know that it's going to get hard. I know that it's going to get tough, but I'm trying to feed you and take care of you, my disciples. Don't give up. Don't let go. Don't think that this world is your home, because it's not. He has not left us nor forsaken us. He has said that I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. If you're connected to the vine. And when we begin to look at the vine the wrong way, as Stacy did, and think that it becomes the source of our problems instead of the source of our salvation and our freedom and our hope, then we need to continue to be pruned. We need to continue to be cut on. We need to continue to be fixed. Because he just wants to have us bear much fruit. So I ask you this question. As a congregation, as individuals, how much fruit are you bearing? Because he said, you will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. When you look at me and I look at you, I better and you better see the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because that is the picture of the vine. That is the picture of Jesus. And if I'm connected to the vine, and I'm allowing the vine to nourish me and to feed me, then every day, in every way, all the time, that's what you should see in me. His disciples had to understand something. He wasn't going to leave them. He wasn't going to forsake them. They wouldn't physically be able to see their Father anymore, see their Lord and Savior anymore. They weren't going to be able to be there with him. But he wanted them to understand, if you get the picture of the vine and the branches, which I know you understand, then I want you to know that I'm not leaving you. I'm here with you. Let me feed you. Let me nourish you. Let me help you so that as you navigate through this life, which is going to be tough for everybody, you know that the Father is pruning and he's cutting and he wants to make you what you ought to be. And if you continue to allow him to make you what you ought to be, you should be able to produce so much fruit that when others see you, they begin to say, how do I get some of that? And you will have an opportunity. Because you understand, you will have the responsibility at that point to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they will then know that God is still working on you. We're not perfect, but thank God that the vine dresser is still willing to work on somebody like me. You may be here this morning, and you have stopped allowing the vine dresser to work on you. You are not connected to the life source the way that you should be. You have begun to live a life that you're not showing Christ every way, every single way, every day that you need to be doing. And that is hard. And everybody goes through these ups and downs, but you need prayer. You tried it on your own and it's not working. And you need help. Let us help you this morning. Let us pray for you this morning. Let us assist you this morning. There's no shame in saying, hey, I'm not where I want to be, and I want to be better than I have been, and I find myself not growing in the way I should grow. That is maturity, to see that there's a problem and address it. Can we please help you? You may be somebody who has not been engrafted into the body of Christ. The Bible is clear to tell us that if you want to become a child of God, a part of His Son, you must believe, repent, be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says, and when you do that, and only when you do that, you are eligible to have your sins washed away. How are your sins washed away? Remember, you're the dead branch. You need something to quicken you and make you alive. The Bible says that that happens in the blood of Jesus Christ, or by the blood of Jesus Christ, that He washes away your sins. We see in Acts chapter 2, we see in 1 Peter 3, we see in Acts chapter 8, that all of those transitions, Romans 6, all of that happens according to the Bible, that when your sins are washed away. I'm mindful of Paul was told in Acts 22, 16. He says, why are you waiting? Arise and wash away your, be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you want to call on the name of the Lord this morning, please come forward. Let us assist you and help you and assist you by baptizing you into Jesus Christ, into His body, so that you may become part of the vine. And this operation will be a beautiful thing. Part of the oneness. You can be one as Christ and the Father are one. If you are subject to invitation in any way, please come forward. Together we stand and sing.